That was Stelios Kazantzidis and singing Thessalonica. And our palette member, Kevin Maloney, is also a star with wife Janetta on the Nine Network's Travel Guide series. And recently they cruised the Mediterranean and after the cruise discovered Thessalonica, the second largest city in Greece. And they loved it. Graham Kemlow spoke with Kevin earlier.
Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thanks, Graham. Good to be back. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Now, we have spoken on the show about your trip on Seabourn, but you got off in Athens, and then you had a few days before your flight was due back to leave for Melbourne. So what did you do?
Okay, well, firstly, we were playing the frequent flyer points game.
Yep.
So we wanted to get some business class seats out of Europe, and the only place we could get them at the time we wanted was from Thessaloniki.
Right.
Northern Greece, up in the Macedonian region.
Is that the second biggest city in Greece?
I'm sorry?
I think Thessalonica is the second biggest city in Greece, isn't it?
Correct. It is, yes. And I've got to tell you, it was a real surprise.
Right.
When we got off the ship in Piraeus, we caught a cab into Athens to the railway station and caught a 5-hour trip on the train up to Thessaloniki through some pretty beautiful countryside, and quite a lot of it is along the coast of the Aegean, so it was very, very nice.
Right.
And then when we arrived in Thessaloniki, we were totally blown away by this city.
Right.
We've been to Greece several times before and never really got out of Athens, but so we thought we'd just explore a little bit, so it was fortuitous that our flight was actually coming out of Thessaloniki.
Okay.
And when we arrived there, we hired an apartment or rented an apartment in the centre of town on Airbnb, which was incredible. It was a terrific little apartment.
Right.
And very, very cheap for what we got. But it was right in the centre of town, and it gave us the opportunity just to explore the entire city by foot. But one of the first things we do normally when we go to a city that we haven't been to before is get on the hop-on, hop-off bus.
Yep.
And that proved a very, very good thing to do because it takes you all around the sites and gives you your bearings. And it's like a sampler, similar to a cruise, which I always consider as a sampler as well. If you like one of the destinations that you see on a cruise, you're normally there for just a day, but you can always go back and explore it in a more deep way.
Yeah.
And that's the same, too, with the hop-on, hop-off bus, which only costs 10 euros.
Wow.
And it gives you unlimited access to it for 24 hours. So we rode on that for about 2 or 3 hours, I suppose, just around and around.
Yeah.
And then went back and visited the sites that we thought were interesting, one of which is a medieval fort on top of the city, which was the old city, and then Thessaloniki, it's still a bit of a mouthful, was built around it. So this medieval city and fort is occupied now and forms part of the greater city of Thessaloniki.
Right.
But there were several surprises there, Graham. I'd consider Thessaloniki to be a Greek city that has just enough ruins to justify it as being Greek.
Right.
But it's not overloaded with it. So there's plenty of modern-day stuff that you can see and do in Thessaloniki. And one of them, of course, is eat and drink.
Yeah.
Now, there is a corniche there. It's on the edge of the Aegean. And the corniche would go probably for 10 kilometres. And for about 3 or 4 of those kilometres, it's just jam-packed with bars and restaurants and cafes.
So,
and
pardon my ignorance.
It reinforces the Greek obsession of drinking coffee any time of the day.
Right.
I mean, if you go along the seaside in most cities, people are down there drinking a glass of wine, or in Italy, they're throwing back a spritz or a glass of wine or some sort of drink, but they seem to drink coffee more than they do alcohol.
Right.
And it's not because they're old. It's a very young city. The population seemed to be half of what we were, and it seemed as though everybody was in their 20s and 30s having a terrific time.
Oh, it sounds interesting. I was just going to ask you, my ignorance will show through here, but the only corniche I'm aware of is a brand of a Rolls-Royce. What is a corniche?
A corniche is an esplanade along the waterfront.
Okay, like a boardwalk,
usually,
is
along
it?
A harbour or a port.
Okay.
And like Oman has a beautiful corniche in Muscat.
Right.
Same too with Nice along the avenue that...
where they ploughed into
the
those people.
There.
Yeah, okay.
So, and they're usually cram-packed with activity, and so too is this one.
Righto.
In Thessaloniki.
So Thessaloniki, is it? Would you say overall it's a much, much younger city than Athens, is it?
It is. It is indeed. And it was considered the European capital for young fashion and food.
Right. So what
so
did you enjoy?
An opportunity for us to explore.
Yeah. And what did you enjoy in the food?
One of the things that they're famous for in this particular region, which is Macedonia, really.
Right.
One of the things they're famous for is this creation called bougatsa. So we did a little bit of research while we were there and found a little cafe, fairly nondescript-looking cafe, almost in the centre of town, that produces this bougatsa, which is a pastry, and it comes in a savoury or a sweet form. And the sweet form is filled with custard, and it's a very flat, oh, it's hard to describe, but it's a like a flat, it's not a cake, it's flaky pastry like the Greeks do so well, filled with this custard. So we got to this little cafe quite early in the morning at about 8 o'clock when they were still cooking it. So we had to wait, had a cup of coffee, waited for the bougatsa to come out of the oven. And first we had the savoury one, which was delicious, and then followed up with the sweet one filled with custard. So that was an experience that you would probably only get in a place like Thessaloniki, which is one of the reasons you've really got to source out some of the unique experiences, because a lot of the food around the world has become homogenized. You can get Greek food in Melbourne, of course. You can get Spanish food. You can get all sorts of food in Australia. But when you can find something unique that you wouldn't normally get in your own town, it makes the experience a bit more special.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds a bit like a vanilla slice that's been run over by the garbage truck, mate.
That's a really good description, and you haven't even eaten it.
No. No, but I like the sound of it. It's probably not something I would go for in a big way, but it sounds great. And what do you wash that down with apart from coffee?
Coffee. They have an obsession with coffee.
Wow. And so, is it Greek coffee?
Very well, Greek and sort of espresso. Coffee that we're used to as well. You can get just about anything in the form of coffee over there.
Yeah.
But they are obsessed with it. They will sit for hours. We were talking to one restaurateur who, when we stopped along the Corniche for lunch one day, and I said to him, how long do these people stay? And he said, oh, they're the bane of my existence in Greek, or I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
They sit for 4 or 5 hours and they'll order one coffee and take up that prime table for the whole time.
Maybe that's why they charge a bit more in places like Italy if you sit out the front.
Yeah, well, if you try and sit in St. Mark's Square in Venice, you'll be paying about $25 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's
but
interesting.
The thing that they accompany coffee with, which doesn't go down too well with Australians, is a packet of cigarettes. So they'll sit there and smoke their fags and drink their coffee all day long.
Yeah, that's not atypical of lots of European cities, though, Kevin.
No, it's not. You're quite right. And they're still smoking in restaurants,
yeah, at least...
which is abhorrent to most Australians.
Sure.
But they'll smoke in restaurants, they'll smoke walking on the street. They're big smokers still in Greece.
At least in France, they've started vaping. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. The jury's out.
You still get the waft of it, though.
You do, indeed. And so how many days did you spend in Thessaloniki?
We had 4.
Right.
And it's a remarkably cheap place to stay. The accommodation that we had was a terrific 2-bedroom apartment, and we were joined with a friend from England who came over and stayed with us for the time.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very beautiful old apartment that had just recently been refurbished, and I think we got it for something like 160 Australian dollars a night.
Well, that's a terrific price.
It was, and it was right in the centre of town.
Yeah, fantastic. And they do deal in euros in Greece still, don't they? They're clinging to their membership.
They haven't gone back to the drachma yet.
They may end up there.
Anything could happen in Greece.
Right. And do they regard themselves as a different race to the Athenians, the Macedonians?
They do. There's still the Macedonian influences up there. And of course, Thessaloniki sits in the shadow of Mount Olympus, where everything happened way back in the day.
Yeah.
So they're very rich in tradition, very steeped in their history, and they're very proud of it. So that the Macedonian, I suppose, attitude is prevalent, and it is quite different from Athens. I mean, when we were driving through Athens from Piraeus into the train station, it very much looked like a decaying city. There's a lot of work to be done in Greece, but there's just not the money to do it.
No.
It was interesting. we were researching the train before we left, and the European Union gave Greece a certain amount of funds to fix up their railway system because it was just in such disrepair. But there was one particular track that they couldn't fix, and that was the line from Athens to Thessaloniki. So instead of fixing it, what the Greeks were doing were paying people to ride in a taxi on a five-hour trip. It was cheaper for them to do that than to fix the railways. But
you're
eventually
kidding.
They did fix them.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Well, maybe that's maybe that is just typically Greek. I don't
They're
know.
Only in Greece.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Kevin, that's a terrific report, mate. Thank you for that. We've run out of time, as you do when you're having fun. So now, people who want to catch up with you and Janetta can do so in a few weeks when the Logies are on. It's up in Queensland this year, isn't it?
Yeah, for the first time, it's on the Gold Coast.
Right. So you're going to walk the red carpet, I gather, with the rest of the...
Well, Travel Guides has been nominated for the best reality TV program. So
right.
I think on the Sportsbet account, we're the favourite at the moment.
Is that right?
Channel 9 have asked us to head up to the Gold Coast, and we're going to walk down the red carpet, go to the Logies, go to the after party, and just have a terrific time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I wish
it
you
does.
Well. I wish you well, and we'll get our listeners voting Vote 1 Travel Guides.
They can do that from the 29th of June on the website.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Kev. We'll catch up soon.
Hopefully.
You're welcome, Graham. Always good to talk to you.
And you. Bye.
Hopefully we'll see Kevin on the red carpet. That was Kevin Maloney speaking about Thessalonica with Graham Kemlow.